Today's shiur is Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, and we will begin on Daf Yud Ches on the base at the end of 7 lines to the bottom. Masa Rav Acha Bar Huna. In the previous Gemara, we had learned a Machloikis. If Megillah's Tainus, the Megillah, the list, the various Yom Tovim that Chazal over the generations had instituted still remains in effect after the Churban Habayis, where we had Rav Rav Chanina said that it became bottle, it became abolished after the Churban Habayis, and Rav Yochanan and Yeshua said it remains in effect. Ask the Gemara on the Shita that says that Megillah's Tainus became abolished, Moser of Ach Bar Huna. One of the Yom Tovim listed in the Megillah's Tainus is B'tlosa B'Tishrei, 3 days in Tishrei, B'Delis Adgar T'Mishtaya, mentioning Hashem's name became abolished from the Shtoris, as the Gemara explains. Shigozer Malchus Yovim Gzeira, the Greeks have made a decree, Shloi Lahaske Shem Shemaim Alpiyem, that Klai Yisrael should not mention Hashem's name. Ukshigovra Malchus Machshmanoi and Chanukah, the time when the Malchus Chashmanoi prevailed the Nitzchem and defeated the Greeks, Heskinu Shem Askirim Shem Shemayim Fil B'Shtoros. They instituted that we should mention Hashem's name even in all documents that are written. And in fact, the Mefarshim explain, in the Al Hanisim, we say Ulcha Asisa Shem Godl Vekadosh Vailamecha. We mention Lucha Asisa Shem Godl, we made a great name for Hashem. Say the Mefarshim, that's referring to our learning in our Gemara, that the Chashmonai instituted that we should mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name everywhere. So when they would write a document, they would write Bishnachas Kach V'Kach L'Yochanan Kohen Gadol Kel Elyon. In this year of Yochanan Kohen Gadol's reign, and he was Kohen to Hashem. K'shisham Chom B'Davro, when Chazal heard about this, Amru L'Mochazeh Pereyes Chavay, if we're going to write in a shtar, if we're going to write in a document Hashem's name, when the debt will be paid, and therefore the document is no longer needed, Nimtza Shtar Mutabashpa, the shtar will be put into the garbage, and the Shem Hashem will become desecrated. Ubitlam, so they were mevatel, they abolished the decree of the Chashmonai. And that day in which they did this was a yontif. And as the Mefarshim explain, what was the yontif? So some Mefarshim explain that Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who's being mentioned in our Gemara, was actually Yanai HaMelech. This is what the Mashal explains the Gemara. And Yanai was a person that killed many Tamid Chachamim when they told him that it was inappropriate that he wanted to take the Kesef Kahuna, that he appointed himself Kohen Gadol. So they were concerned that when the Chacham will make a Takana, that we should take out this line from the Shtaris, Yanai will be insulted, and who knows what he will do. When he accepted that they should take out this line, and he didn't protest, it was a cause to make a Yontif. Other Mefarshim explain, quite simple, they say that that if Klai Yisrael accepted the takona that the Chazal made, that is a reason for simcha, when we are makabel what Chazal teach us. And from here point out the Ritva, and the Achronim discussed this also, that we see that writing Hashem's name or the desecration of Hashem's name is not only when it's written in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew, the Ksav Ashuris, in the Ksav in which the Sifrei Torah are written, for here we see that even Shtaris that represented business transactions, which were ostensibly written in the same language, in the language that they spoke, in Greek, yet if the Shem Hashem is mentioned in it, it's a bezoyin that it should be thrown out, even when not written in Hebrew, even, for example, when it's written in English. And based on this, the Ritva says that since we know that the Gemara says that Shalom is one of the names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so says the Ritva, we should not write the word Shalom in a shtar, because when, or in a letter, because if the letter or shtar will be thrown out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be desecrated. And that's what the Ramah says, lahalocha. And the Ramah says that some that are makbid, when they write a shtar, they don't write, or a letter, and they want to write the word shalom, they don't write the whole word, they write just write shin lamed vav apostrophe. The Shach indicates that most people aren't makbid in this, and most people do write the whole word shalom and a shtar. The Mefarshim explain, why was this yontif made on the third day of Tishrei? Why was this ruling that they should no longer write Hashem's name instituted on the third day of Tishrei? So Chasam Sofer explains that we know that there are 10 days. Gemara explained it. We just learned it recently. Aser she made tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It says the Chasam Sofer, each one of those days, one should correct or work on perfecting himself in each one of the Seres HaDibris. So if the third day of Tishrei was supposed to be working on the third of the Seres HaDibris, the third of the Seres HaDibris is Lo'sisa Hashem Hashem Elokech L'shov. So since it's the day that was supposed to be working on respecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, that's why Chazal chose that day to institute this takana that they should no longer write Hashem's name in the stars. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that the Megillas Tainis, the Yom Tov and Megillas Tainis are no longer relevant, ask the Gemara Kamaisa Bottle, the original Yom Tov mentioned in Megillas Tainis was saying we're abolished, and now we're going to add more Yom Tov, it doesn't make any sense. And says the Gemara, Hacha B'mayiskinen, this Yom Tov that they made to commemorate that they no longer will write Hashem's name in Shtaris, the Gemara is referring to the Zman Shebeis HaMidosh Kayim. It's talking about the Beis HaMidosh was still standing and the Megillas Tainis was still in use, and the Gemara is mentioning that this was one of the Yom Tovim that was mentioned in the Megillas Tainis. And the Shari Tshuva actually brings down from the Tfuah Shtar that one should be careful not to mention not to write Hashem's name. He says there was a minig that they used to write certain pieces of paper, put them in the Sidurim, and have Hashem's name on them. And he says, our Gemara is teaching us how careful one must be with Hashem's name. In fact, Rabbi Avadya Yosef in the Shailos Tshuvos Yabia Omer brings a Shaila that on the 20 shekel note used in Israel, there is a pasuk from Yeshaya, and he asks, based on our Gemara, how could somebody use such a note, such a money, if our Gemara is being so strict about the name of Hashem being respected? So he says a very nice chap. He says, our Gemara is discussing documents, letters that are written on, and afterwards those letters are discarded. And as our Gemara said, we're concerned that somebody will not pay the proper respect, that's disrespectful, throwing out those letters. Says Rav Avadya Yosef, that money, no one ever throws out. So there is no concern that somebody's going to disrespect the shtar, the money, because it has Hashem's name on it, because money, unlike the shtaris mentioned in our Gemara, is generally not thrown out. Ask the Gemara, but typically, if we're saying that this is the third day of Tishrei, it's considered a yontif, because it was the day where they made this takona, not to mention Hashem's name anymore in the shtaris. Typically, the Havel Yoim, Shneherig, Gedai Ben Achikom, as we learned in the previous daf, the Gemara taught us that all of the days that were fast days, when the Beis HaMikdash were not standing, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, are Yom Tovim. Gimel Tishrei, it's Tzom Gedalia. So when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, Tzom Gedalia is a fast day. But here, if the Gemara just finished explaining, we're talking when the Beis HaMikdash is still standing, so then Tzom Gedalia is a Yontif. So why do we have to institute this day as a Yontif because of this concept of the Shem Hashem? It's a Yontif anyway. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Lenitzcha Elasa Shalafonov. The days mentioned in Megillas Tainus are not only those days themselves Yom Tovim, but even the days day before and the day after are considered a Yontif. So says the Gemara, the reason why we made the third day of Tishrei Yontif to be listed in Megillas Tainus is that the day before should be treated as a Yontif, based Tishrei. Ask the Gemara, the Shalafon of Nami, but the day before based Tishrei is anyway a Yontif, the Havle Yom Shlach Rish Chodesh. It's the day after Aleph Tishrei, which is Rish Chodesh, and Rish Chodesh is a Yontif. So Mefarshim point out, we could have said that the second day of Tishrei, we know we treat as Rosh Hashanah. So why does the Gemara say that the day's Tishrei is already considered Yontif? Because it's the day after Rosh Chodesh. It's already considered Yontif because it's the day that's treated as Rosh Hashanah. So the Sif Secham answers that the Gemara is referring to Yerushalayim. When Yerushalayim, they only considered the first day, they only treated the first day of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. They knew for sure that was Rosh Hashanah, not the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Ask the Mefarshim, so why is the Gemara asking that Beis Tishrei is a Yontif because it's the day after Rosh Chodesh? Why don't we ask that it's a Yontif because it's the day after Rosh Hashanah? So the Ritva says that Enochanami, the Gemara could have asked that, but Ritva says that the day after Rosh Hashanah, we knew for sure, is not treated as a Yontif. Since Rosh Hashanah is a Yontif Daraisa, it doesn't need, as the Gemara will explain soon, any strengthening. So it's obvious that it doesn't, that that day should not be treated as a Yontif. But the day after Rosh Chodesh, which Rosh Chodesh is not such a full-fledged Yontif, so Gemara is saying perhaps it's considered a Yontif because it's the day after Rosh Chodesh, so why do I have to make Gimel Tishrei into Yontif to treat Beis Tishrei as a Yontif? Answers the Gemara, Rosh Chodesh Daraisa, any Yontif that's Daraisa, including Rosh Chodesh, is a Yontif Daraisa or Daraisa Leiboy Chizik. And therefore, it doesn't require any Chizik. The day after Rosh Chodesh is not treated like the day after what are the Yom Tovim in the Megillas Tainus, and is not treated as a Yontif. Ask the Mefarshim, from here we see that certainly Rosh Chodesh itself is a Yontif. Ask the Mefarshim, the halacha is that if someone on Rosh Chodesh was saying Birchas Hamazon and he forgot to say Yalav V'Yavoy, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. And the reason is because he didn't have to eat altogether, so therefore you don't have to repeat the Yalav V'Yavoy. Ask the Mefarshim, here we're seeing that Rosh Chodesh is such a great Yontif that the day after it doesn't have to be treated as a Yontif because it's such an important Yontif. So how could you say you don't have to eat on you don't have to eat on Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to repeat Birchas Hamazon? So the Mefarshim answer, there's a difference between eating and eating bread. Of course Rosh Chodesh is a Yontif, and of course on Rosh Chodesh one may not fast, but benching Birchas Hamazon is only said if one ate bread. You could mekayim Simchas Rosh Chodesh without eating bread, just by eating. The Tanya and the Gemara points out that we have this concept. There's a difference between a Yontif Daraisa and Yontif and Megillas Tainus. Hayom Me'elu Ksuvim Megillas Tainus. All these Yom Tovim that are listed in Megillas Tainus, Asurim Bein Lefneim Bein Lachreim, both the day and before and after the Yontif, one may not fast. Shabbos is Yom Tovim. However, Shabbos and Yontif, Heim Asurim, on Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves, one may not fast. Lefnei melachrei mutarim, but the day before and the day after, one may fast. Mefarshim discuss on how, if the day before Shabbos and Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov may one fast. Some Rishonim say that Al Gemara says that one may fast. Others say that even though we're allowed to fast, we're not allowed to fast until Shabbos or until Yom Tov. Shlo yikonis l'Shabbos v'Yom Tov kishehem mu'unim. One should not enter the Shabbos and Yom Tov in a state of fasting. The Gra asks a question. The Gra asks that it says in Shulchan Aruch that nahagu l'harbo tzas b'chila v'shtiyah b'yoyim achar achag v'asru chag. The minig is that one should eat more and drink more on Isru Chag. Ask the Gra, here in our Gemara we just finished learning that we're allowed to fast on Isru Chag. So what's pshat that we eat and drink more? Says the Gra, that if someone chooses to fast on Isru Chag, our Gemara just taught us that he may. What the Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is saying is that if one, as most of us, choose not to eat, to eat on Isru Chag, tells us the Shulchan Aruch, if you're eating and drinking on Isru Chag, nagu, the minig is l'harbis tzas, to eat and drink a little more. Ma hefrish, continues the Bryson asking me in Zelza, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov that before and after were allowed to fast, and the Yom Tov listed in Megillas Tainus before and after were not allowed to fast? Answers the Gemara Halol of the Vitaira. These Yom Tovim are Yom Tovim with the Raisa, Vein the Vitaira Tzrich and Chizek. They don't need any strengthening. They stand on their own. Halol the Vitaira. Aside from the Yom Tovim listed in Megillas Tainus, only with Rabbanan, the Divrei Soifrim Tzrich and Chizek. Ask the Gemara of a typically. Again, why do we have to make, ask the Gemara, the third day of Tishrei Yom Tov? It's not a Gemara saying, in order to treat base Tishrei as a yontif, typically the Havilah Yoyim, Shlifnei Yoyim Shnaharg Bagdai Ben Chikom. If we're explaining that this price is referring to the time when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. And when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, Gimel Tashrei, Tzom Gedalia is a yontif. So base Tishrei is the day before Tzom Gedalia. And it's a yontif on its own. So again, did not have to make Gimel Tashrei. Chazal did not have to make Gimel Tashrei into a yontif. It's a yontif anyway. Amar Rashi answers, Gedalia ben Achikam Divrei Kabbalahu. Tzom Gedalia, when the Beis HaMikdash standing, being a yontif, is Medivrei Kabbalah. And Divrei Kabbalah, Kedivrei Torah, Dama have the same status as Divrei Torah, a yontif Medaraisa, which we just finished explaining, doesn't require chizik, and is a yontif on its own, and the day before is mutter to fast. So the reason they added in Megillas Tainus Gimel Tishrei to be a yontif is to treat base Tishrei as a yontif in the place where it's not treated as Rosh Hashanah, that you should not be allowed to fast. From here, the Mefarshim seem to point out, the Rishonim, the Mordechai already points out, it seems that Rosh Hashanah itself, one may not fast. And there's a discussion, is that the halacha? From here it seems that the day after Rosh Hashanah you're not allowed to fast. But Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to fast. But Rosh Hashanah itself, you're not allowed to fast. And that's taku what the Mordechai says. However, I did see that other Rishonim make the following point. They say it's a difference if it's an Eis Tzara, if a time of Tzara is for Klal Yisrael, then one may fast the Rosh Hashanah. If it's not an Eis Tzara, then you may not fast on Rosh Hashanah. So Gemara again asks another question on the shita that holds the Megillas Tainus was abolished. Masa Rav Tuvi b'Masna. It says in the Megillas Tainus, Be'esrim v'tamni bei, 28 days in Adar, Asa besurta tafsalo yidui. Good news came to Klai Yisrael, the lo yidin meraisa, they do not have to stop learning Torah. Shigazra amachs gzeira, because the Roman regime had made a decree, shlo yask v'Torah, the Klal Yisrael should not be allowed to learn Torah, v'shlo yimolos b'neim, they should not allowed to make bris mila, v'shichalu shabbosos, and they should be mechalu Shabbos. And the Mefarshim asked, why these three things did they pick on? So some Mefarshim explained that these are the three things that give a kiyum, that help Klal Yisrael remain. Shabbos, We know, as the Gemara says, "Amolish Sham of Neisrael Shtei Shabbos Miyad Negolim." If we would keep two Shabbos, we immediately have Mashiach. So certainly, Shabbos is very powerful. Bris Mila, we know, represents what it means to be a Jew. Haklai Yisrael over the generations were Moisa Nefesh for Bris Mila, and Torah Imloy Chukos Imloy Berisi Yom Imloy Berisi. If not the Eibishter created the Torah, the world would not exist. So these three things are what keep the world in existence, and therefore the Romans wanted specifically decree on these three things. Other Mepharshim say that these are the three things that separate the Jews from everyone else. A Jew learns Torah. A Jew has a Bris Milah. A Jew is Shem Shabbos. And they wanted to break down that separation between us and the Umas HaOlam. In fact, Mepharshim asked that why doesn't the Gemara include tefillin, which is also unique to Klal Yisrael? So the Ben Yoyada explains that since tefillin could be worn in the privacy of one house, close the door, close the shades, so the Romans realized that if they would make a gzeir that we shouldn't wear tefillin, it would be a gzeir that they can never follow up on. The other thing, Shabbos, if they see we won't work on Shabbos, Torah, if we get together to learn Shurim, Bris Milah, these are things that are noticeable. That's why they chose these three things. Ma'aso Yehuda ben Shammu v'chaverev. What does Yehuda Shammu and his colleagues do? Halchav natal etzim ma'truni achas. They went to one Roman noblewoman. Shekol gdol Roman rami mitzuyin etzloi. That all the important people of Rome used to come to our home. Amlehem bo v'fkinu balayla. Go make a protest in the night. So Mepharshim ask, why make the protest, the demonstration, strictly at night? So some Mepharshim say, because at night, the voice of protesting, the sound is more noticeable, that's why shake at night. Others say that the Ben Yoyada brings a few pshatim. One pshat is because by night, it would remind them of Yavik Yaakov Imoy Aralois HaShachar, that already in previous generations, Yaakov Avinu had held battle with the Malach of Esav at night and prevailed, to show them that Klal Yisrael will ultimately prevail. Another pshat that I saw is that over the history of Klal Yisrael, so many nisim have happened to us at night, and they were trying to send a message to remind them that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does ultimately save Klal Yisrael. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada says is that this actually was a plan that the Matronius made, woman made with the Jews. What she was saying to them was as follows: I have influence to try to be able to save you. However, if she will just go and bring up this subject to the Roman ministers, they'll accuse her of being together with the Jews, working together with the Jews. So what she said to them was like this: I know that these ministers are coming to my home tonight. You go out and make a demonstration at night, make noise. When they'll hear the noise in the house, they're going to ask, what is this noise all about? That will give me an opening to be able to talk to them and persuade them to be mevatel the gzeira. Holchuv of Kino Balailu. So they went and made a protest at night. Amru, what they said was, Ish Shamayim. They called out to Shamayim. So Ben Yoyada says, why did they use the word Shamayim? Says the Ben Yoyada, Shamayim, as Rashi teaches us at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, means Esh Umayim, fire and water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took fire and water and combined them and made Shamayim, made the heaven. Klal Yisrael was saying to the Romans, even though we're like Esh Shamayim, even though we're like fire and water, so very different, even people who are different should be able to coexist. Amru, Esh Shamayim, lo achichem anachnu, aren't we your brothers? And what they were trying to say was that it says in the Torah that lo yisav adoimi, that we're not allowed to hate the people from adoimi, the Romans. So why are you telling us not to learn the Torah? The Torah is something that you should want us to learn. The Torah tells us to live peacefully with you.
Lo b'nei avacher anachnu. Don't we come from the same father, Yitzchak, who Yitzchak was the first to have a mila to 8 days? So why are you decreeing that we shouldn't have a bris mila? V'lo b'nei em achas anachnu. Don't we come from the same mother, Rivka, who we find was a shomeres Shabbos? Because as the Medrash says, that when Rivka came to be married to Yitzchak, she put on Neroi Shabbos. Man nishtanenu mikol am revolution. Why are we different than all other nations? Shatem goizim alenu gzeres koshus, that you put on us these horrible decrees. Or bitlim, and they abolished the decrees. Voice of yom asar yontif. And that day was made a yontif. Says the Gemara. Isak adatak bottle Megillus Tainus. If we're going to say the Megillus Tainus was abolished, so again the question is, kamais a bottle, the original yom tovim Megillus Tainus are being abolished. Achuinisim asifin, and now we're adding yom tovim. Says the Gemara v'chitem, perhaps here too you want to say, that this story took place while the Besamidish was still standing, and they were still following the Megillus Tainus. Says the Gemara, that can't be. Vayehuda ben Shamua, Talmida Shremeya. Yehuda ben Shamua was a Talmud of Remeya. Remeya, Bosa Hachahava. Remeya lived many years after the Churban. For as Rashi explains, the Churban took place in the time of Yochim ben Zakkai. Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochim ben Zakkai. Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. Remeya was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. And as we're going to learn now, Yehuda ben Shamua was a Talmud of Rameya. So certainly Yehuda ben Shamua lived many years after the Churban Abayas. So the Gemara can't say that this story happened while the Beis HaMikdash was standing. The Tanya, how do we know that Yehuda ben Shamua was a Talmud of Rameya? It says in a Braisa, clear the chukash and nikfu, if there's a glass utensil that got a hole, the tifa toichen aver, and one put into it metal, Amr Shim Gamliel, Yehuda ben Shamu, Matam Shim Rameya. Yehuda says the name of Rameya is Tomei, Pacham Matarim. So Rashi says, two pshatim in explaining this Gemara. One pshat that Rashi says, is the halacha is, the midaraisa, certain vessels of Makabal Tumah. Vessels made out of earthenware, and vessels made out of metal. Vessels made out of glass are not Makabal Tumah midaraisa. There's another halacha, that a vessel that does become tamei, if one breaks that vessel, shvirosam, breaking them, zutarosam, is the way how that vessel becomes tahor. Says Rashi further, the Rabbanan, however, made a gzeira that a metal vessel that became tamei, and then one breaks it, if one repairs it, it becomes tahor again. Explains Rashi that if you have, that is only by a metal vessel, since the tum is deraisa. By a glass vessel, if one breaks it and then repairs it, it will still remain tahor. Says Rashi, Bermei is teaching us that if one had a glass vessel that was tamei, it became broken, so became tahor. And then he repairs it. If the way it was repaired was by putting in a metal plug, hakel hoylech acher hamamit, what keeps the vessel together turns out to be metal, and therefore that vessel is considered a klimatchis, that when it's repaired, it goes back to being tamei. The Chum disagree. They say it's a glass vessel. The fact that it has a metal plug doesn't make it into a metal vessel. That's the first pshat in Rashi. The second pshat that Rashi says is that the Gemara is discussing a glass vessel that has a hole, and one plugged it up with a metal patch. And the machloikas is, does it have the status of klimatris, that's makabel tuma midaraisa, or does it have the status of kli zechuchis, that's not makabel tuma midaraisa? The Tosfos is not really satisfied with either pshat that Rashi seems to be learning, and Tosfos therefore says that the pshat in the Gemara really reflects, is this considered, if you plug up a glass vessel with a metal plug, is that considered an adequate closing or not? So we see that Yehuda Shemoel was many years after the Churban Abayis, and yet he's still making Yom Tovim. So we see that the Megillah's Tainus was not abolished. Says the Gemara Tanoihi. It's a Machloikus Tanoim. The Tanya, if the Megillah's Tainus was bottled or not, is Machloikus Tanoim. The Tanya, Hayom Me'elak Suvim Megillah's Tainus, these days that are listed in the Megillah's Tainus, Beim is Manch Beis Minish Kaim, both when the Beis Minish is standing, Beim is Manch Ein Beis Minish Kaim, even when the Beis Minish is not standing, is Surim, and now at a fast on these days. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. When the Beis Hamikdash is standing, Asurim, one may not fast on these days because we have the Yom Tovim and the Megillah's Tainus when they should simcha lahem. The Yom Tovim, Ein Beis Hamikdash Kaim, when the Beis Hamikdash is no longer standing, Metarim, one may fast on these days. Neshuv lahem, it's a time of mourning. And as the Mefarshim explain, if we're as a part of the mourning for the Beis Hamikdash, what Chazal told us was, don't follow the Yom Tovim and Megillah's Tainus. In other words, what Chazal were doing was, they were expanding what it means to mourn for the Churban Habayis. The Hilchasa, says the Gemara, the Halach is, Batlu, that the Yom Tovim and the Megillah's Tainus were abolished. The Hilchasa, and there's Halach the Loi Batlu. Ask the Gemara, Hakasha, Hilchasa, Hilchasa. We have here a contradiction. On one end it says that they became abolished, and on the other hand says it didn't become abolished. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Kam b'Chanukah Purim. Chanukah and Purim did not become abolished. Kam b'Shar Yomi, other Yom Tovim listed in Megillah's Tainus did become abolished. So Mefarshim ask, if the halacha is that Chanukah and Purim are still Yom Tovim that we're following because of Megillah's Tainus, how could one fast on Tainus Esther? Tainus Esther is the day before Purim, and we're saying that Yom Tovim listed in Megillah's Tainus, we're not allowed to fast the day before. So some of Farshim explain that even though these days are still Yom Tovim, Megillah's Tainus is not that much in effect that even the day before the Yom Tov should be a Yom Tov. For that much, Megillah's Tainus became abolished, and therefore one may fast on Tainus Esther the day before Purim. Others explain that Chanukah and Purim have the status of Divrei Kabbalah, and as we learned on Amud Aleph, Yom Tovim that are Yom Tovim with Divrei Kabbalah, there is no halacha that one may not fast on the day before the Yom Tov. And the Mefarshim point out, if this teretz, which is given by the Ran and by the Rizal, is correct, that Purim has the status of Divrei Kabbalah, we know that halacha is Safik d'Raisa l'Chumra, Safik d'Rabbanon l'Kula. A Safik medivrei Kabbalah we treat like a Safik d'Raisa, and we should be Machmer. So if Purim is Divrei Kabbalah, the Chiv Talein Megillah would be like a d'Raisa, and we would have to be careful that the person we choose to read the Megillah has to certainly be a godel, that there shouldn't be any shaila to be mekayim the mitzvah sofek divrei kabbalah chumra. Rebbeinu Tam says that even though one is not allowed to fast before a yontav listed in Megillah's Tainus, when Chazal instituted Purim, they also instituted that the day before Purim is a Tainus, and therefore one would be allowed to fast. According to this, Teretz, only on Purim, when Chazal specifically instituted that the day before Purim is a fast day, one would be allowed to fast. But before Chanukah, or after Chanukah and Purim, one would be not allowed to fast. The Shulchan Aruch says that the halach is one may fast on the day before Chanukah and Purim, but the Magen Avraham quotes the Bach, that the day before Chanukah and the day after Purim, the day after Purim anyway, Shushan Purim, or the day after Chanukah, one l'chatchila should not fast. We learned in the Mishnah, Al Elu Bnei Rosh Hashanah, that one of the months they sent out 8 shlichim to say when the new moon was seen was for Elu because of Rosh Hashanah. Val Tishrei was another time they sent out Edim Bnei Takonas Hamayadis to decide to tell us when the Yom Tovim in Tishrei should take place. Ask the Gemara, Kiva the Nafkalua Elul, if the Edom went out and told us, one Rish Chodesh Elul is, Atishrei Lamaluhu, why is there a need to send out Edom for Tishrei? Once we know that Rish Chodesh Elul is one day, 30 days later is Rosh Hashanah. The Chitei Medim Labrula Elul, perhaps that year Elul will be 30 days, and therefore we need to send out Edom to tell us if Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is the 31st day from Rosh Chodesh Elul, or the 30th day from Chodesh Elul. Ask the Gemara of Aram Chanina Bar Kahana Marav, Mimais Ezra Ve'elach Lemetzina El Me'uber. From Ezra's time and on, there was never a situation where Elul was 30 days. Elul was always 29 days. So if Elul is always 29 days, why do I have to send out Edom? Answers the Gemara, we never found that it was necessary to send out Edom. But if it were necessary to send out Edom, it is possible that we make Elul 30 days. And that's why we have to send the Edom for Tishrei. Tosfos points out that it was only from Ezra's time and on that the Gemara's point saying that we never saw that Elul should be more than 29 days. But in the time of Ezra, it was possible that Elul should be 29 or 30 days. Ask the Achronim, so how did they know when Rosh Hashanah was? So the Achronim answers something that we learned in Masech Debeya, that in the time of Ezra, they still had the system where they lit torches, and based on the torches, they knew when Rosh Chodesh was. It was only afterwards where the Tzedakim didn't allow them to do that anymore, that they could no longer use that method. But since in Ezra's time they could do that method, there was no question that they could make Elul 29 or 30 days and would be able to effectively notify everybody. Ask the Gemara, but if you're going to make Elul full, Hamakalka Rosh Hashanah will come out on the wrong day, because as Rashi explains, they always assumed that Elul was 29 days. So the 30th day is Rosh Hashanah. If they ended up making Elul's 30th day, it turns out that they kept Rosh Hashanah on the wrong day. Tosfos learns that we don't have to be concerned about. Because Tosfos said because they always knew that they may make Elul into 2 days, they may not know exactly when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, when Rosh Hashanah is, they always kept Rosh Hashanah for 2 days. But the concern, Tosfos says, is why set up a situation that we're going to have to keep Rosh Hashanah for 2 days? And as some of Rashim explained, if they're going to keep Rosh Hashanah for 2 days, they're going to blow the shofar, make brachas, and say the tefillos that they shouldn't have. Why end up in such a situation? Well, the Tori Evan explains. Tori Evan explains that the Gemara we learned says in Masech Tebeya, that on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, if someone passes away, it's asked by Amimim. We can allow Goyim to bury the Niftar. But on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we're not allowed to let Goyim bury the Niftar. If we're not going to know exactly when Rosh Hashanah is, and we're going to think that the second day of Rosh Hashanah is the second day, when it truly, really is the first, we're going to end up doing the wrong thing. We're going to let Goyim bury the Niftar when they're not allowed to. So, ask the Gemara, how could we allow Beis Din to make Elul full with these kinds of repercussions? Answers the Gemara, Mutav to the Kalka Rosh Hashanah, it's better that Rosh Hashanah should be disrupted, even with the repercussions that we just described, V'lo Yiskalka Kulam Adif, and not all the other Yom Tovim should be messed up. Because as we will learn in the next Shir Mitzvah Shem, Chazal didn't want that Yom Kippur should come out on Sunday, Mishum Messiah will come out that somebody who was Nifta will not be buried, Mishum Rekayu, we're going to explain this all in Mitzvah Shem the next year, that the vegetables may wilt. Others explain the halacha is that we want Beis Din should declare Rosh Chodesh on the proper day and not declare it on the improper day, even though there are negative repercussions in our observance of Rosh Hashanah. Dekanami, and we could prove that that's what the Mishnah means. Dektani, because it says in the Mishnah, Al Tishrei Netakonis HaMa'adis. We send out shlichim for Tishrei because to declare when Yontav is. It doesn't speak about when Rosh Hashanah is. So the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah means for Rosh Hashanah itself, we shouldn't really have to send out shluchim for Tishrei. It's only because of the other Yom Tovim, like we explained, that will take place in Tishrei, that's why we send out shluchim for Tishrei, Shema Mina. About Kislev, the Mishnah said we send out shluchim on Kislev, Mnei Chanukah, to tell them when Chanukah should be. Val Adar, and we send out shluchim for Adar, Mnei Purim. Vilanus Abra Shana, says the Mishnah, the Gemara makes an observation, if it was a leap year, so we have two Adars, Yoitzim Af Al Adar Shenu of Mnei Purim, that we send out Edim to tell it's Adar Sheni, because Purim is observed in Adar Sheni, like Tani. That the Mishnah doesn't mention. Says the Gemara Masnissen, like Rebbe, our Mishnah is not according to Rebbe, the Tanya, because the Braisa says, Rebbe Omer, in the Sabra Shana, if it's a leap year, Yoitzim Afal Adar Sheni, we have to send out Edim for Adar Sheni, Mnei Purim, that they should know when Purim is. Ask the Mefarshim. Instead of discussing, the Rishonim Taisus already points this out, instead of discussing do we need to send out Edim because of Purim or not, why doesn't our Mishnah say, why doesn't the Gemara say we have to send out Edim to let them know there was a leap year? So Taisus answers that they would understand that it was a leap year anyway. Because if we send out Edim for other Rishon, and then we don't send out Edim the next month, 29 or 30 days later, they will understand that it's not Nisan. And on Nisan, as we learned in the Mishnah, we'll discuss more, we always sent out Edim. The fact that we didn't send out Edim will be the best proof to them that they were Ma'aber, the Shana, that they made it into an Ibi year, and that's why they don't have to send out Edim specifically to notify them that they were Ma'aber, the Shana. Ritva says that they did send out Edim. There was a Shnas, Shana Muberis. But they didn't have to send out those Edim, says the Ritva, at the beginning of the month. They could have sent out the Edim as soon as they declared it as Shonim Uberis. Rebbe seems to be saying that we have to send out the Edim immediately at the beginning of the month. Says the Gemara, Lema v'hokimifki, what is the machloikis if we send that Edim to say that Adar Sheni or not? The Masover, one Tana holds, the Tana of our Mishnah obviously holds, Kol Mitzvahs and Nohagas B'Sheni, all the mitzvahs that we do in Adar Sheni, Nohagas B'Rishon, could also be done in Adar Rishon. So since everybody already was Mekayim Mitzvahs Purim in Adar Rishon, there's no reason for them to have to go out for Adar Sheni. Omar Sava, and Rabbi Yehuda holds, Kol Mitzvahs and Nohagas B'Sheni, Ein Nohagas B'Rishon, you have to do Mitzvahs Purim, and that's the way we hold, only in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon, and therefore we had to send out Edim to let them know that it's Eder, that that's Purim. Says the Maraloi. That's not true. The Kula Amma Mitzvahs and Nohagas B'Sheni, everybody holds that Purim has to be held in Adar Sheni, Ein Nohagas B'Rishon, and not in Adar Rishon. Here the machlokes is there a set amount of fixed days in Adar Rishon? The Tanya, the Braisa says, Kama Ibishonim. How many days does the first Adar, which is considered the extra month of the year when we have a Shana Muberis, have? Shloshim Yoim. The Tanya Kama says 30 days. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oim a Chodesh. And Rav Shimon says a Chodesh. Maishno Shloshim. So the Gemara explains, when the Tana Kama says 30 days, so we always know that there's 30 days to Adar Rishon, so there's no reason to send that Edim for Adar Sheni, because you know the 31st day is Adar Sheni. Because Yadi, everybody knows when Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni is. Chodesh Nam Yadi. Chodesh means 29 days. So everybody knows that the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. Amar Apopos explains, Apopos, man the Amar Chodesh, the man the Amar that says that Adar Rishon in a year of two Adars is a Chodesh, doesn't mean that it's strictly 29 days. What it means is Rotz a Chodesh, Rotz a Shloshim. It could be 29 or 30 days. And like the Michas Chinuch explains, the Beis Din has the ability, has the discretion to decide that sometimes we should have 29 days and sometimes we should have 30 days. And since Beis Din has this discretion, we can never know for sure when it was, and that's why Rebbe held we have to send out Edim for Adar Sheni. Hayig Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Mishum Kil Kedisha B'Shulayim Al Shnei Adorim, in a year when we have two Adas, Shemekach Mesom B'Yom B'Reim, that both times the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh. That means both of them have 29 days. Lememra, as the Gemara, the Chesrin and Avdinim, that we make them 29 days. Malayim Loy Avdinim. We don't make the two Adas 30 days. Lefuki Mededorish Rav Nachman Bar Chizda, who said, "Hey, Rav Tzimoy, Mishum Chag Zechari Malachi," and Mepharshim point out they didn't say it in the name of Chag Zechari Malachi because they didn't live in the same time. They just had a Messiah, they had a Kabbalah that they learned from Chag Zechari Malachi. Ashnei Adorim, Shemrotzu Las Ashnei Malayim Asim, if they want to make both of them Molei they may. Shneim Chaserim, if they want to make them both Chaser, Oisim the May. Achen mole vechet chaser oisim, that have one mole and one chaser they may. The kachay nagim begoyla, and that was the minig in the goyla. Mepharshim ask, how could the Gemara say that that was the minig in the goyla? Isn't kiddush achodesh done in Eretz Yisrael? So they explain that the Gemara says that if there's no one, if there's nobody as great as the goyla hador in golos, then kiddush achodesh is done in golos. Umishum Rabbeinu Amr, by the name of Rebbe said, "Oilam Echad Malav Echad Chaser." One of the others is the other region is always 30 days. Other Sheni is always 29 days. Achi Vaglach Shuk Rosh Chodesh Bizmanoi, unless it becomes known that Rosh Chodesh Other Sheni was Rosh Chodesh Other Sheni was made on the 30th day. That makes Other region deficient, makes it only 29 days. But normally it's the first other is 30 days, the second other is 29 days.